Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
This is Fred Film Radio. I'm Mariane Morisawa from the Berlin Film Festival. I'm here at the round table with David O. Russell, who directed American Hustle. Would you say there is an European background in your work? Would you say you are more interested in European cinema than in American movies because of your Italian and Russian Jewish heritages?
That's an interesting question because, I always loved, you know, Lena Wertmüller, and I loved Fellini, and I loved De Sica, and I also loved Fassbender and, Herzog. But what my real bread and butter was movies, not films. You know what I mean? So, like Coppola and Capra and Hawks and Altman and movies you'd go see in the movie theater. So, to me, this is finally the cinema that I've really meant to make my whole life, and I'm grateful it happened before I died because I'm a late bloomer, and it was really the last three films that I really, I think, discovered the highway of humanity that is passionate and operatic and leaning into love and leaning into a kind of hope in spite of any catastrophe. And I'm happy to fly that flag, and leaning into romance and leaning into a love of the details of who they are, which is a very specific thing. So it's not easy to make a commercial. So the fact that it's been commercial three films in a row is kind of a minor miracle. And I would aspire to try to keep doing that. And I would say one of the only filmmakers I know who can make a personal cinema that is a commercial cinema and a very specific cinema is Quentin Tarantino. So I have my own smaller version of that that I am grateful with this repertory company to keep making, and that's what we're trying to do.
But then what happened that made you do these last three films, The Fighter, Silver Linings Playbook, and The American Hustle?
I had a break, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, my life changed, and also as a storyteller, I lost my way a little bit. I think that you are lucky to live as a storyteller, and it's easy to run out of gas and lose your way and to not find inspiration. I think it's good to tell stories like you have a gun to your head, because that's the only way I know how to do it, like it's going to be, to make it count and make it instinctive and not, that's just me. That's the only way I know how to do it. So after Huckabee's, which already my head had started to go up my ass and I was too overthinking things as opposed to coming, you know, Irving in the movie, Christian Bale said to me in his backyard, we said, this movie is really about artists. It's about people who care passionately about life and love and their craft. They care passionately about it. This man is like a director or an actor. And Christian got very excited about how everybody, in a way, is like an actor. And if you went to anybody's home, most people are very specific about their choices. And they would say, please don't do that, do this. I don't, you know, and they would, that's how their house is. And you know, that's how their clothes are and their hair. So we got into that idea. And he said, Bob Hoskins said to him, acting, it's not from the ears up, is it, mate? It's from the fucking feet up, isn't it? And so we said, that's the motto of your character, from the feet up. So it's this very passionate thing of detail about everything that the movie's really about. And this was linked to your question. And what was the question?
What happened before these three films?
So I was making cinema that was from here, a little too, from the ears up more, right? And once I came back from bouncing down the mountain and, you know, landing on my ass, you know, or like, you know, Darren Aronofsky came and sat on my lap the year he had Black Swan out and I had The Fighter out. And I said, you're doing so good. And he said, you're doing so good. I said, what happened? And he said to me, Darren said, he said, I got my head out of my ass. That's what Darren said to me. And I would say, I could say the same thing after that. So I bounced down the mountain. I got divorced. I had to help a bipolar kid get his life together and pick a school where he could, the whole thing where he could go live, and it was a whole big thing and it was very consuming. And I had two stillborn movies, one that I overthought and never made with Vince Vaughn, and one that I got into the second or third trimester and money ran out and I didn't know what happened. That's when I met Sue, was on that movie. nailed that didn't get finished. So that's as low as it can go, you know, for me. You know, half of it was my doing and half of it was not my doing. But then, Sidney Pollack gave me an opportunity. I work for a living, you know, so he gave me a job to adapt a novel called Silver Linings Playbook 6 years ago, the year he died. And he said, do you think you can adapt this? It's a very difficult tone. And I said, yes, I can. He said, why? I said, because I've lived it. You know, because it was very personal. So that turned out to be my most personal movie. It's based on a novel, okay, that I adapted. But so then he died, which was very sad, and I couldn't get hired to direct it. So I couldn't get to make that movie. So then I, fortunately through Mark Wahlberg, I got The Fighter, which was a movie I wouldn't have made 10 years ago. You know, so instead I found great passion and love for the people in The Fighter. And so that was because I was in a humbler, simpler place from down here, you know, that I was able to look at those people and look in their eyes, the real people and the characters, and go, yeah, I get it. This is good. This is specific. This is passionate. This is alive. It's intense. It's funny. It's heartbreaking. It is what it is. And it's not trying to be funny or heartbreaking. It just is what it is. So then I got to make Silver Linings Playbook. After I'd already been made a better filmmaker from The Fighter. And Sue was our unofficial music supervisor on The Fighter, who I couldn't get them to hire and name, so she unofficially told me how to get all the music, which was brilliant, because it's very hard to do, to get Led Zeppelin songs they'd never licensed in The Fighter, et cetera, et cetera. And she made all that possible. I mean, people kind of know, that's the nice thing about these movies, they kind of know what they're gonna come for. So if it's, you know, we can very quickly at the beginning, I can write for them. Mm-hmm. So I aspire to deliver for them. And that makes me write it. Because I go to their house, now I have to go home and write it. Mm-hmm. And I want, my first trick is to turn them on and capture them. And then once I do that, then I have to go write it. So that's a good way to write cinema, because you're writing for people who you are inspired by. Let's give this lady some tea or some water. There's some water right there. Look at that bottle of water right there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, this poor lady.
I wanted to ask you about the dynamics of the set. I know you can talk during a scene. Does that work with every actor?
You know what I mean? Some actors are very instinctive. If something feels right, they'll do it. You know. So I said to Jennifer, you're going to sing Live and Let Die, which is like a Brecht thing. It's like a Bertolt Brecht thing, you know, which is fantastic. And it felt completely right to me. And it felt right to her, even though we didn't know where it would go in the movie. But it did belong in the movie because she was afraid of change, and she had to muster an enormous amount of rage to change. So I've known people like that. I've been that person. So anyway. You know. Then if you do that and you dedicate to those actors, then ideas like that will come to you. Or Bradley Cooper, you know, talking to his mom about what he wants to do. You know, that's kind of personally inspired for him. Or him chewing his tongue, which his character does, which changes the whole way he looks. That's a discovery that we did together, because we've both known people who chew their tongue nervously, who want to be more strong and authoritative than they are, who never feel respected like that character, who therefore will be reckless, and who are kind of desperate. That all went to the character from personal associations.
What motivates you to work as a director?
The people. I have to love the people, the characters. And it has to be a predicament worthy of them, and one that can be filled with all these things that I love. The details about their world and the passion of their lives and a life and death struggle. That's going to make it go by in 15 minutes for my cousin. 15 minutes.
Do you know when a film is going to be a success?
You know, it's a funny process. When you make a movie, you put everything you have into it, and you know that there's magic moments happening on set that you can feel, and you have to, you don't move on until you feel like you've done the absolute most magic you can in that scene. And we do the movies quickly so that there's a gun to everybody's head. They all have to go from instinct. And then you're in the edit room and you're cutting it and recutting it and cutting it, and our editors are nominated too, which I'm grateful for. But you keep cutting it, and then you love it. But you know, you can, there's many moments where you say to yourself, I don't know, this is no good, you know? And that's true on many great films. I heard stories of Francis Coppola curled up under his editing machine on The Godfather, you know, just like crying, you know. So, you know, that can be a sign you're still making a good movie. But and then in the edit room, once you leave the edit room, that's why that certain things meant a great deal to us. Then you go watch it with audiences. Once we have a process, and we go to audiences that are regular people, like my cousin. You go to El Segundo, which is not where I'm from, but there's like a lot of regular people in El Segundo. And I love regular audiences. And I love watching them when Christian Bale is, first they see Christian Bale, and you hear people in the audience go, holy shit. Or you hear people say, no way. Or you hear people say, ugh. And then he fixes it, and he goes like this. And you hear people go, oh, wow. Because he looks handsome. Suddenly he looks handsome. So that was what the whole movie was to us, was how people can be both those things. And so I love those audiences. When those audiences react and love a film, you think you have a hope. You have a chance. So we do that 3 or 4 times. Then we still look at each other in the editing room and I go, I don't know. Are we crazy? I like it. I think it might be good, but I don't know. I hope we're not the only 5 people who think that.
Your films are also commercial successes, as you said. Is that intimidating? Do you feel that pressure?
Yeah, but that's always true. You know what I'm saying? That's the business I aspire to
more.
No, but I aspire to be in that business, you see? But I'm also very realistic. I want to keep the budgets down because the landing strip for these movies about people remains this big. You have this much space to land the airplane. It has to be that impressive and intense and emotional, and it has to be to land right here, to have audiences embrace it, right? And it's not about some other stuff. So as long as you remember that, because what happens after every movie is, you know, everybody's price starts going up and you start going, guys, we're not making a Jerry Bruckheimer movie. We're still making a movie that has to land on this thing. So I know, you know, we did it 2 or 3 times, but this is still this big. It hasn't changed. So you have to try to, I don't know. Yeah, I've learned from failing. So once you fail, you know, I welcome the challenge of trying to make films for broad audiences. You know, yeah, it's pressure, but that's, I'm not a plumber. I mean, that's the business I picked, you know. If I didn't want the pressure, I shouldn't be in this business, you know. So it's okay with me, you know. And I did it where I said, oh, it's okay to fail. When I made Huckabees, I was like, it's okay to fail, because I was overthinking things. And I did that. I'm not in a hurry to do that again. I'm like, I don't want to do that again.
From the Berlin Film Festival, this is Mariani Morisawa for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.